of our little katha, Krishna's return to Vrindavan. I think you all remember the first part. The Brijbasis had really waited for Krishna to return. But then when many years had passed and Krishna did not return, they felt great, inconceivable misery. So what they did is something which I think all of us at times do. They wanted to hear about news of Krishna. So they made a messenger service when Nanda Maharaj sent messengers on fast horses to Dwaraka and wherever Krishna performed his pastimes, and they came back, these fast horses and messengers, and gave news about Krishna. This is described to be the only medicine for people who suffer from the absence of the Lord. That is, to hear about Krishna, to hear Krishna Katha. Prabhupada, therefore, he says in one part that Krishna Katha removes, all the miseries of material existence. Because, as we heard yesterday, every conditioned soul has two wounds in his heart. One is the wound which human beings made, maybe we were friends once, and then the friendship, something happened in the friendship, and then words were said which should not have been said. Or we have wounds, maybe our parents expected us to become doctors while we just wanted to become violinists, and that created a pressure. So a wound made by the human being. But that's a small wound. The real existential wound, which most people even don't know about, they know about the pain, but not from which wound it comes, is what? I couldn't hear? Krishna's absence, yes. We belong to Krishna. We are part of Krishna's. And when we went away from him, something broke in us. And something stayed also with Krishna. You know, and that's our longing for him, our desire for him. One poet says, "If you would not be there, my Lord, why then do I always have this longing to be with you? Why did you give me this longing?" So we all have longings from the time, but we try to fulfill these longings with other things, with other relationships than the relationships to Krishna, with other things. I had a children lecture where I said, imagine you would have the treasury of Emperor Ashok. I was telling about Emperor Ashok's story. And you could spend any amount. What would you do? So one child said, I would buy a Lamborghini. I do not know what that is. I know it's a car, but I don't know how the car looks. But it is apparently a well-known car. And the other child said, I would build a huge temple for Krishna. So even children know what material desires are. We are obsessed by them because they all come from this God-shaped hole which can really only be filled if we put Krishna again in our heart. That we have to learn. So the Brijbasis heard about Krishna, and in this way they kept alive. But after some time, it was towards the end of Krishna's pastime, something happened with the messenger service, and no news came from Krishna any longer. And then they were on the verge of death. They were almost dying. They were actually seriously discussing in Nanda Maharaj's court the most effective ways how to remove themselves from this life, how to commit suicide. This much was their pain. But a priest saved them. He said, "Why are you so forgetful? Have you forgotten what? The letter, the last letter which Krishna sent to us." Nanda Maharaj said, "The circumstances are different now." The priest said, "For the Lord, there's never any change. I have this. Let us read the letter." So he read the letter where Krishna said, "My dear father, I'm not living in Indraprastha, nor do I live in Dvaraka. I live in this letter." That's a far out statement, isn't it? "I live in this letter. Keep this letter in your pocket, and then you are with me. Then you have me." This was the letter. So as the letter was read, what happened? Do you still remember? They heard the conch shell. Thank you very much. Whose conch shell? Krishna's conch shell, of course. And they understood through this divine sound vibration of the Lord's conch shell, the Lord is here. What he said in the letter, that he's here, is true. And then Krishna came. And there was this wonderful meeting. But this meeting was, you know, both Krishna was so, had indescribable emotions, and the Brajbasis also, so that it was like, I have written it down, when the summer meets the monsoon, an intolerable situation of heat is created. The whole universe was endangered by the heat of these emotions from the bridge, from the monsoon Krishna, and the heartfelt feelings of the Brijbasis. These feelings which the Brijbasis had, and I will only explain this more, and then we will enter the Leela again, is, by the way, the only way how we conditioned souls can meet Krishna. My dear devotees, this, let us have no doubt, we must learn to invest our emotions in Krishna. We cannot be emotional about everything else, you know, and not about Krishna. We must really feel something, and what particular feeling is most appropriate is taught by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It's the same feeling which the Brijbasis here display. Any idea what that feeling or mood could be? Separation. The feeling of separation. Yes, Govinda, you also wanted to say Vipralamba Bhav. Vi means what is very far. Vipra is something which is in the distance, and Alambana means to attain. By the mood of, "Oh Krishna, where are you?" you can attain Krishna. Also here in the summer camp, some of you, I understand from our discussions, have deep Krishna conscious experience. Since others are still wondering, is it coming? Is the Krishna consciousness bliss coming to me? When is it coming? If you want Krishna conscious experience in this world, it always has to do with that mood where you say, "My Lord, I am missing you. I'm only missing you." And with that feeling, you make your first significant emotional investment in your relationship with Krishna. I've taken here something from Prabhupada. just like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who teaches Yugaitam Nimeshena Shakshusha Pravishayitam Chunyayitam Jagatsamvam Govinda Vidaye Name. I'm missing you. This Jagat, this whole universe is empty for me without you. There's nothing in this universe which I can really call my own without you. Then Prabhupada says, we have got practical experience of this. If somebody's beloved has died, he sees everything as zero. Nothing is appealing to him any longer. Two weeks ago, I phoned my parents because they're now really old and need support. And my father said, I don't know what I shall do if your mother leaves before me. Everything will make no sense for me. This is an example of, there's so much love for his wife that he sees everything zero. The house is zero, the computer is zero, his book collection is zero. Everything. Nothing is appealing to him. Similarly, if we have developed our love for Krishna, and if we do not see Krishna, then shunyaitam jagat savam govinda virahename. But a devotee and an ordinary person, if an ordinary person wants to see something, and if he cannot see, he becomes angry. Because that is karma. But a devotee says that, Krishna, although the whole world is vacant because I cannot see you, still I cannot change my mind. I must love you. You break my heart by not allowing me to see you. Still, you are my beloved, worshipable Lord. That is the difference. There is no manyu. No disappointment. And disappointment, Prabhupada then relativates this. Disappointment may be there, but so much disappointed that he has a broken heart. But still he wants to love Krishna. That is pure love. Not that I have been disappointed, my heart is broken, therefore I give you up, Krishna. No, still Krishna is good. That is pure love. And this we find here in the Brij Basis, this very high example of waiting for Krishna, longing for Krishna, desiring Krishna so much to come, remaining loyal, faithful in his absence. And when they meet, it's like summer and monsoon. Purnamasi came. He is dressed in a saffron garment, white hair. She's respected by all the Brij Basis at the sadhu, female sadhu. And she said, wait. Everyone, wait. Can't you see Krishna has not eaten anything? He has not taken his bath. He came from Dwaraka, and he's very tired now. Let us put him in the shade of a banyan tree. And let him bathe, let him eat. And that was exactly what the Brij Basis needed to hear. They said, oh yes, enough of these emotions, we must serve Krishna now. And they all looked towards Vrindavan, and then one by one they left the banyan tree, went to Vrindavan village, came into their homes and took everything which was still there, which was of value, with them. And while they were chanting Gopal, 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 they returned from their homes to the banyan tree, where Krishna, who had bathed by now and eaten, was sitting and waiting. And they had heaps of gifts of cloth and so on, which they wanted Krishna to have. Here, we want to serve you. But Krishna was not happy. He turned to Purnamasi and said, I see my people, but they all look so poor. Why is it that they are so poor? They look like flowers in the autumn, which have verblüht, which have been overblown, you know, that all the color has left them, pale and withered. Purnamasi said, listen, Syam, what is in the heart of the Brijbasis? When you were away from Vrindavan, and when they heard that you were fighting the demons, they gave everything away what they had in charity to the devatas and brahmanas, so that they would make sacrifices for your benefit, and that the devatas would protect you. Everything what you gave them when they saw you in Kurukshetra, you gave them gifts of cloth and oil and garments and jewels. They've all given it away because they wanted you to be protected in your mission to fight the demons. They gave everything away except the cows which you gave them. When Krishna heard this amount of love, that he had given valuable things to his dear devotees, but they had given it to the brahmanas so that the brahmanas would chant some good mantras for protection. When Krishna heard this, he cried long and very sweet. Then he said, Daruka, Daruka, O Daruka. Daruka is the chariot driver who had come with Krishna's chariot from Vrindavan, who had driven Krishna. O Daruka, take some of my old servants here, they are here, and go to the chariot and get the best of cloth from my chariot. This was a royal chariot. Get all the ornaments which are there and place them here before me on the ground. Daruka and the servants went to the chariot, and they saw there was so much cloth on the chariot, and no matter how much they brought for Krishna, he made a big you know, we have a cloth table there, a shopping table outside of the temple room, but this was vast, you know, what Krishna made. And then Krishna with his own hand gave away oil, clothing, fresh ornaments, along with many chintamani gems, which could be touched to something, and then zip, that something would turn according to what the owner of the chintamani jewel wanted to have, no? Wish-fulfilling thing. And in this way, unlimited wealth was created, and more came. And Krishna gave it all away and filled up Braj with cloth, with jewels, with chintamani jewels, with everything. And in this way, he reciprocated with the love of the Brijbasi. But then Krishna looked. Everyone looked satisfied. I forget to tell you that some Brijbasis were very skinny. They had not eaten. You know what Krishna did with them? He just looked at them with his nectar-filled eyes, and streams of nectar came out, and zoop, they got very strong, healthy-looking bodies. You know, the thinness went away, in other words. They were healthy, but the thinness went away. Then Krishna looked around. Something was missing. There are three items which Krishna has in Vrindavan. And when Krishna left Vrindavan, he gave these items into the custody, obhut, of Mother Yashoda. Who knows the three items which Krishna only carries in Braj, nowhere else? Flute, then peacock feather, and stick. Sometimes learned Vaishnavas add, but he also has a buffalo horn. Therefore, in some temples, you find Krishna with a flute and a buffalo horn. A buffalo horn. So that in case he wishes to blow on the buffalo horn, it's there. But in case he chooses, no, buffalo horn is not appropriate now, flute is better, then he has the flute there. Because these are typical Braj items. And Krishna said, Mother, where is my peacock feather? Where is my flute? Where is my stuff which I gave you? Mother Yashoda immediately went home and got these items. And the moment Krishna put the peacock feather in his hair, grabbed his flute and had his stick on the side, he developed a special beauty which he had not before. He was looking so beautiful, my dear devotees, with the three items, because this is Krishna's special feature in Vrindavan. He is a cowherd boy, a playful cowherd boy. At this stage, when the people saw Krishna's overwhelming beauty, Bilva Mangala Thakur says, this is a flood of beauty and sweetness which comes when we have the darshan of Krishna. They were so distraught with happiness, so durcheinander, we say in German, voller Glück, we say in German language. They were distraught with happiness that they began to run around. They wanted to do something. And then they got the idea what they wanted. They wanted to serve. It is expressed very nicely by our Goswamis. When you have a proper Krishna darshan, this evokes or brings out a certain sentiment, the sentiment of bhakti, of a great devotion, which wants to manifest into a practical activity of devotional service. So as the Brijbasis were overwhelmed with Krishna standing in his, he's now getting into the mood of Vrindavan. He has this already almost dressed. He's not yet fully dressed, but peacock feathers there, good, the main thing. They ran away and wanted to render service. And because there was not much to do, they ran to Krishna's chariot, cleansed the chariot. They went to Daruka, gave him new cloth, and they cleansed the four horses of the chariot. And as they rendered the service, they became stunned in ecstasy. They couldn't move any longer. How did the people of Braj look? My dear devotees, you will be surprised. 100 years had passed, but not one of them had changed anything. There were a few who had been very thin and a little pale, but otherwise they were the same. It's not like, you know, when you come after a summer camp and you look at the Prabhus, their bellies are usually 1 meter bigger. Maybe not 1 meter. This is a little big, you know. No, they looked as effulgent as always, because even in his absence, the Lord meditates upon his devotees, and by this meditation of the Lord on his devotees, the devotee is protected and nourished. Oh, the most valuable thing is not to think of the Lord. The most valuable thing is that the Lord thinks of you. And that gives the life for our existence. So, after Krishna had, you know, given the Brijbasis gifts, after he had bathed and dressed and eaten and put on his peacock feather, he was now ready to meet special groups of Brijbasis. He went to his chariot to meet his hundreds of cowherd boyfriends. I was thinking, this is so nice. You know, when men want to be amongst themselves, they go away from everyone else into, you know, maybe they do push-ups together, or they sit together. They do man activities together, you know, and then they feel happy, and they speak in certain ways very freely, and so on. So Krishna wanted to be free and alone with his cowherd boyfriends. So because they were boys and cowherd boyfriends, they had interest in chariots and so on. So Krishna had the meeting point at the chariot and talked with them. I find this very endearing, very personally. And more than anything, full of what the scriptures call mellow. Mellow is the Sanskrit word, is rasa. This was now the Sakya rasa. After some time, Krishna looked, because he was still not in Vrindavan village. He looked down the road and he saw these wonderful roads. He saw old and very high trees, and under the trees he saw the houses of the Brijbasis, just like before. He saw ox carts coming and going on these roads, and the ox carts were filled with big clay pot, which were full of yogurt, because this is Braj. The wealth in Braj is the products of the cow. And he felt very happy. He was now ready to enter his own house in Vrindavan. At that time, the respectable ladies had assembled at the edge of the village. They are considered very auspicious. And they were singing, and they were offering Krishna a handful of jewels to welcome him. There was a great festival of singing and dancing. I think that's very important when we do festival. Singing and dancing and music, and not automatic dancing, dance nicely for Krishna. No? There were auspicious mantras which the brahmanas chanted, and they showered Krishna as he was coming down the road with sanctified flowers. The cowherds could not contain themselves. They jumped up and down. Gopal was returning, and the devatas from the sky showered our Lord. Then Krishna, just before he entered Vrindavan village, did something very endearing. He received a relative who had cowherd dress, you know. Cowherd dress means a yellow rustic dhoti, chata, pitambara, you know, and a belt, you know, cloth belt. And he dressed, and he looked exactly like his cowherd boyfriends, with the exceptions that there are a few very, very special signs at Krishna's chest is one sign, Shiva's, and the golden lion, and Krishna's eyes are, of course, always darting. He doesn't look in one direction. He always looks like this, to acknowledge all the devotees and have a personal relationship with them. So it was such a wonderful ceremony that in the hearts of the Vrijbasis, they all developed the idea, we must offer an arati to Krishna. But because there were so many millions of Vrijbasis, it was not possible that everyone comes with a light. How will they stand, you know? So what they did is they were building groups, and they wanted to start with the oldest, but they were so ecstatic that everything got topsy-turvy. You know, it was just a spontaneous welcoming ceremony. This is something very... The way they did it is one offered the lamp and the others caught hold of the shoulder. And then the other caught hold of the other shoulder. There was a chain of Vrijbasis. And in this way, Krishna went actually into his home. Yashoda at this moment was the most happy woman in the universe. But in her happiness that Krishna had returned home, she did not forget Krishna's happiness. She quickly prepared some sweets and offered them to Krishna. And then he understood, it is little late. My Kanai wants to be alone now with his friends. This was a long day. And again, he killed the demon, you know, so he needs a little rest. So she busied herself with preparing the preparations for the next day for Krishna to eat. And Krishna, the Lord of the universe, Krishna, whom Brahma had prayed for, Krishna, whom Gabadakashai Vishnu had announced, went into his chamber. The Lord had taken care of the mission of the avatar of that time. It was completed now. And now he went to the place he liked most. He went to Vrindavan and there into a little, into a resting room where he was with his friends. And he was embracing the friends to his chest, heart to heart, in the sleeping chamber. They lay down like only friends could do, and they talked while on their side. The friends were too excited, really. There was just talk, talk, talk. And Krishna spoke all about the news, what he had experienced. He touched the hearts of his friends. And then our Lord, who had removed the earth from its burden, our Lord, who had installed Indra as the rightful ruler of the universe, was now back. And what did he do? He went to sleep. And you only sleep where you're totally at home. I like this so much. He went to sleep. All big things have been done. Now he's private. This is our Krishna. Krishna is our Lord when he's private. So my dear devotees, in your memory, it is called Smaranam. There are five stages, but this is the first. It is a general. Go through what you have heard. Bring that image or scene into your heart. Drive out the scenes which don't belong there. And focus on Krishna so that your wound will also close.
Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Hare.
Hare
Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare.
Hare Krishna. Thank you very much for listening with so much attention. I would like to, at the end, read again this excerpt from this lecture which Srila Prabhupada gave quite late in his life in 1976 in Sri Vrindavan Dham. It was at a time when he was already preparing his departure, which would happen about less than a year later. So, yes, he is talking about Mahaprabhu's essential teaching, where he says we must long for Krishna. And he gives an example. Just like we have got a practical experience, if somebody's beloved has died, he sees everything as zero. Nothing is appealing to him. Similarly, if we have developed our love for Krishna, and if we do not see Krishna, that's sunyaitam jagat savam govinda vidahenami me. So, at another lecture, Prabhupada had said that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a sannyasi, and he had given up everything of this world, but he was constantly crying. For what was he crying? And then Prabhupada answers this question, for the only necessity, the Govinda necessity, he expressed it like this, Govinda is a necessity. Necessity in this life, we usually think, well, air is a necessity, water is a necessity, but there is really the Govinda necessity that has not been addressed by many of you. Then he says, a devotee and an ordinary person are different. If an ordinary person wants to see something and if he cannot see it, he becomes angry because that is karma. But a devotee, he says, Krishna, although the whole world is vacant because I cannot see you, still I cannot change my love. Still I cannot change my mind to love you. You break my heart, yes, by not allowing me to see you, but still you are my beloved, worshipable Lord. That's the difference. There's no manu, no disappointment. Disappointment may be there, but so much disappointed is the broken heart. Still, he wants to love Krishna. That is pure love. Not that I have been disappointed, my heart is broken, therefore I give up Krishna. No, still Krishna is good. I have heard this lecture. Prabhupada is very moved when he says it. His voice breaks. Still Krishna is good. That is pure love. My dear devotees, it is a long way to this. We cannot tell our heart love now. This is not how we function, or this is not how love appears in our heart, by telling us love more and so on. No, this doesn't work. But what always works is if you hear about those who have this love. Therefore, a very important sadhana for devotees in this world who suffer due to misplaced and disappointed love is to hear about the devotees of Krishna, the perfected devotees in whose heart, in whose very atma, there is this raga, this deep attachment. And as you hear it, something of that might come and touch your heart, and you might think, why am I so foolish? Why do I long for all these insignificant things? Why do I cry my tears for the things of the world? What is? And you begin to reform. You begin to change. You begin to transform even just by hearing. Therefore, this is a very important sadhana to hear about the Brijbasis, the dear devotees of Krishna, and how they love Krishna. Krishna saw everyone when he returned. His parents, his servants, his cowherd friends. But one meeting, the most difficult meeting was still before him. There's one devotee in Vrindavan of whom Krishna always thinks. This devotee is always in the hearts of the Lord. But due to circumstances, he could not meet this devotee very easily. This is, of course, no one else than the Queen of Vrindavan, Srimati Radhika. And how they finally met and all their desires were fulfilled is a very, very amazing and confidential story. And the time is not there, not today and not tomorrow. If you wish to read about this, you will read the most amazing and inconceivable arrangement which Yoga Maya did. The divine yoga goddess, yoga means the goddess of union, so that Radha and Krishna could meet and be together. That you can find in the concluding chapters of this great work of Jiva Goswami's called Gopal Champu. I have avoided to talk about this, but I thought if there's time, maybe. But maybe in Vrindavan I will talk about this. And with this I would to end this Krishna Katha. We have every year in Vrindavan one week of Krishna Katha based on Bhagavatam. Madhavananda is there from Bhuvaneshwara talking very fine details, very shukshma points. Shukshma means very fine points. And we've dedicated that so that all the devotees for 1 week swim in the waves of Krishna Katha. And if you wish to get information how to attend this retreat, it is all available on Govardhan Retreat Center. There is all the information. We do this now since many years, and Krishna is so kind. He has given us an original forest in Vrindavan. This money cannot buy, because it's under the nature protected area. It's a Govardhan forest. We have 500 meters of excellent forest with excellent old trees right at the side of Giriraj, only for devotees who wish to come and immerse themselves in the nectar of Krishna consciousness at the feet of or in the valley of Giriraj. This is, you may come. There is also katha going on in this forest during the time of the Govardhan retreats. Good. I will close my black gold book with the Krishna katha. If Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wills, I will open it tomorrow again with the Gauranga katha. Hare Krishna. Have a wonderful evening. Hari Bol.